CougarFan.com, Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 404. Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, the biggest news of BYU sports today, Brett Ingemann is going on The Bachelorette, former BYU QB. Your thoughts?
So I will say the one dig that the first one of these that I've heard that I think we can expect a lot more of as this story evolves is the joke by a fan of another school in Utah who said, "Oh, well, finally BYU has a chance to win a ring on national television."
Ah.
I was like, these are the things that are coming our way now, folks. This is what's coming at you with Brett Ingemann's participation on The Bachelorette.
How many national championships has Utah won?
Wait a minute. You think this guy was a Utah fan? Let me clarify. He was a Utah State fan.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they've won some. Did they win a Mountain West title once? That's good for them. That's really good. That's a pretty banner to put in the stadium. That's good.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
That's good.
So, but these are the takes that are coming in hot.
So you were
Brett Ingemann on The Bachelorette.
You were around with when him and Matt Berry were quarterbacks, right?
For sure.
Yeah. And didn't you like go to the MTC with Matt Berry or something?
Matt Berry and I were in the MTC at the same time. That is correct. We had several mutual friends before that, and have kept loosely in touch since.
Yeah.
Very, very, very loosely, I should probably say. I don't know when the last time was I talked to Matt.
Yeah, but a nice guy. I met him while I was covering the team at the time. Ingemann was also
Great guy.
Ingemann was also nice. I worked with his brother at the time when he was quarterback. Brief time that he was quarterback, and I have to say this was I wish we had done this at some point because I would have won. If you had told me which former BYU quarterback is most likely to end up on The Bachelorette or The Bachelor, I would have said Brett Ingemann. I just would have. Like, he's a good-looking guy. He loved the spotlight at the time. And not all – I know a lot of quarterbacks love the spotlight. He's certainly not you.
They all love the spotlight.
Not all of them.
The good ones do.
I don't know. Is that true? I don't think Taysom Hill loves the spotlight.
I think he kind of does. He doesn't not like it.
I don't know if that's true. I think they might get used to it over time, but I don't think Steve Young loved the spotlight. He does now, but I don't think he did back in college.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe. McMahon loved the spotlight, right? I mean, he loved it, right? Bosco never loved the spotlight, by the way. Still doesn't like the spotlight. So maybe that's the exception. Maybe there aren't very good quarterbacks that don't love the spotlight.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
But I feel like wide receiver is the position that loves the spotlight even more than QB.
Wide receiver is more like the diva position, right? Like,
yeah.
Huh.
So
on The Bachelorette, no surprise.
Will you be tuning into The Bachelorette for your first time ever watching the show to follow Brett Ingemann?
No.
So we're not going to be able to have a Bachelorette segment of the podcast?
If I can get like blurbs of it off of YouTube or something that just give me relevant pieces to engage in such discussion, perhaps. Mm. But there's no way I'm going to sit and watch a whole episode of that. But I will admit that the first season or two, I watched a couple episodes. And not The Bachelorette. I think I watched The Bachelor because that was what they did first, right?
Yeah.
There's no way I can sit and watch a whole episode of that.
So
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, maybe you should watch Love is Blind on Netflix. Have you heard about that one?
I have not.
So you basically agree you're going to marry somebody off of this show. Everybody's going to get married at the end or engaged. And you never meet the person until you can talk to them through like a wall, but you never get to meet the person until the end. But you have dates with all of the people.
Wait a minute. I don't understand. You have dates?
But don't see each other. So you talk to each other, you know, through this thin wall. or maybe they're using like microphones and speakers, I don't know. And then you do that, and then you go back, and the girls get together. Oh, I loved so and so, and blah blah blah. And then they come back, and then eventually
they all decide like how they're all going to pair off, and then they
correct.
That's bizarre.
I think it's basically BYU, isn't it? days, you know, you're gonna find your true love. So
no, but at least at BYU, like they at least they used to. They give you the ward list with everybody's picture in it.
Yeah, so
you know, you might have been dialing random phone numbers in Deseret Towers, but you had pictures.
Well, because and we're gonna get to this in a minute with the coronavirus and stuff. We don't have a lot to talk about tonight, and we didn't get a lot of tweet bag questions because I think people are focused on other things at the moment,
preoccupied with
which
that.
I completely understand. Oh, but I will. So I'm going to tell you this story because we've got some time. This weekend was my wife Kathleen's 40th birthday, and so we surprised her by her parents flew out to see us. Really awesome, really, right?
Great deal.
They were good at work. The restaurant when we got there for dinner on Friday night. Lots of fun, really cool. So. Big lead in to say I had to explain to my father-in-law what Tinder and Mutual, the apps, were.
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, yes.
So I'm just trying to explain to my father-in-law Tinder. He had never heard of it. Okay.
Yeah, but your father-in-law is a pretty bright guy.
Oh, he's a very bright guy. Very bright guy.
Okay. All right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He's just he'd never heard of it, right? He had no reason to.
What he possibly had for this?
Well, and all right? of his kids – I think this is true. All of his kids got married before the online dating thing really became a thing. There was some of it, but not as prevalent as it is today, right?
Yeah, that's fair, right?
So he said something about, well, that's very shallow, all right? And I said, okay. When you walked into a class as a college guy at BYU, he also attended BYU, how did you decide – where to sit in class?
Hey now.
And I said, did you ever decide to sit somewhere in class because of a cute girl? And he admitted that yes, he did, which I think is true of all of us, right? Did you do that in college?
No. Yes.
You had two girls show up at the MTC.
Yeah, That was an unfortunate circumstance.
That was great for me as the observer. It was kind of like Love is Blind or the
I was able to dissuade the third from attending.
Oh, but that's good. That's good. Nice job, buddy. So I said, you know, that's the same. And I said, when you decided to go to a group, to a girl's, you know, three or four girls' apartment, how did you decide which apartment to just drop in on? Because you thought they were cute. So I said, it's the same. Tinder, Mutual, it's the same thing, right? Yes, it's shallow because we're all shallow, right? You know. And Brett Ingman, good luck to him. I hope he finds true love on The Bachelorette.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. All right, it's time for the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
So Keith Smith sent us an email last week that we did not read.
Oh, that's unfortunate, Keith, but we're going to get to it now.
Not really.
Oh. Hey-o.
I'm skipping The Notebook. We already talked enough about The Bachelorette.
He came back with The Notebook? What's with Keith and The Notebook?
He loves The Notebook, clearly. He said last week he wanted us to talk about that basically he wanted to kiss the basketball team like Grandpa Allie finally remembers and kisses Grandpa Noah. I don't even know what he's talking about.
Again, I've not seen this movie, but
seen the movie, and I still
he took a weird thing and made it weirder.
Well, I roomed with him for 2.5 years of college, so it's kind of his MO. But anyway,
okay.
He said this about the game, about the St. Mary's game. So we'll start there with the St. Mary's game. The game cash chart says it all, Keith says. And he emailed us, by the way, you can do that, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. BYU led 42-34 with 10-12 left. We scored 8 points in the last 10 minutes and 50 points in a Division I college basketball game, our lowest scoring game all season after a week of rest. No one deserves to win a game like that. So, Matt, what do you think was the biggest reason BYU lost to St. Mary's on Monday night?
Atrocious shooting. Terrible shooting.
Yeah, terrible shooting. And a lot close to the rim. Missed a lot of shots in the paint.
Very makeable shots that didn't fall. It was crazy.
It's easy, right? The actual statistical reason is you missed too many shots. And I think you got some good shots. Though, to be fair, some of Yoli's shots down there, probably he shouldn't have taken when he's triple teamed. Right? He probably, at that point, when you're triple teamed, somebody's got a wide open shot, and you're going to have a contended shot, right? But most of them, I think, were at least decent shots that we missed. So do you attribute that to the layoff, to just one of those days? I mean, how do you break this down? Because a lot of people are pointing towards there was just too long of a layoff. But then I don't know how you explain St. Mary's terrible shooting.
Yeah, I think some of it must have been part of the pace of the game. I don't know. I thought, because I think we all had these same thoughts.
It's a
St. Mary's excuse was they'd gone late. They'd gone deep into a game Saturday night.
Yeah.
And they were tired. I think that was the storyline there. And then the storyline with BYU is they're rusty because they've been sitting around for a week. And so I feel like neither of those must be the answer. There's something about the pace of the game here that puts both of these teams at around 50 points.
Yeah. And you saw the next night.
It was a bad night. St. Mary's didn't look too much better the next night.
No, they didn't look too much better the next night. I think St. Mary's played decent defense against BYU. I think BYU played one of their best defensive games of the season against St. Mary's. So you have to give credit. Is rust part of it? Sure, it can be, right? Not playing, getting out of your rhythm after having won 9 games in a row, and then you get to the tournament, and what do, right? Like, you can't, you want to have that awesome bye, right? Because you look at what happened to St. Mary's, almost didn't play BYU, right? And you don't want to have that. So I get what people are saying. Oh, gosh, that long bye kills you. I think you still would want to have it, right? You don't want to have to play San Francisco or Pepperdine or whomever before you have to play, St. Mary's and Gonzaga, right?
You always take the bye.
You always take the bye. And plus, by the way, nobody's complaining about this if we played decent defense against Ford on that last play. Right? It's all like, oh, yeah, we were rusty, but who cares?
Or scored 10 points in the last 10 minutes instead of 8.
Or,
right?
A lot of people blame Pope and the tech. I don't think he deserved the technical foul, so I just think, I get what people are saying, well, you got to keep your cool. So he shouldn't have talked to the refs? I don't know. He said,
it looked to me like all he said was, he yelled, call the foul. I think that's really what he yelled.
I think in a semifinal conference championship game, as a ref, you got to keep that whistle. I just don't think you call that. And then later, Bennett comes halfway out on the floor upset about the shot clock. And
Bennett is allowed to stand in the corner. This drives me crazy. That's space for the players to play. Like, you got to get out of the way, man. I don't know why they let coaches stand on the court.
I don't know either. I'll tell you.
But he hangs out down there in the corner.
Yeah, I love Mark Few, and I have massive amount of respect, and I never say anything bad about Mark Few. I don't have the same feeling about Randy Bennett. I think he's a heck of a coach. He annoys the heck out of me. Right, he just annoys me, and I just think he just annoys me. So anyway,
but the play that really bothered me that felt to me like it took place around the time the tide turned was the Celius flop.
What was Celius doing?
I don't know, but I feel like that coupled with the with the technical, in my mind, as I was watching the game, the thought I had as those two things were happening was, now we've got this, like, the refs are against us mentality. And that's when you started to see the shoulders slump, whatever the word is I'm looking for there. I don't know what I just said. But that's when you started to see the body language start to change and those
hashtag
types of things.
Shoulder sloop.
And so I do think there's something to that. Do I want to pin it directly on Pope's technical? No, I don't think so. But the Celius flop was silly. But I'll tell you, a play that I felt like had the opposite, the opposite effect was Haas getting in that dude's face.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I think what happened with Celius, and obviously I'm now playing, junior psychologist here, so let's be careful here. But I think it was the same dude, right? Stilts, Malik something. He was
Malik. Whatever his name is.
He was being super physical all game, right? And I thought the refs did a poor job of keeping that under control. Okay? So I think that in Celius's head, he was waiting for Stilts to do anything to him. Right? Anything. That's what he was waiting. And he felt him kind of move toward, as he came up to him and just flopped. You know, because it's just because of who the player was, right? And again, I might be totally wrong. It's hard to say.
Yeah, it was an embarrassing flop.
It was. I thought, oh my gosh, the guy like hammered him.
Yeah, what did he elbow him in the stomach? I mean,
yeah,
I'm thinking,
oh my gosh,
he's
gonna
hit him in the face.
It's gonna be a flagrant two or something, you know? And instead, it was a nothing.
Yeah.
Fitz. Malik Fitz.
Fitz, okay. I thought it was Fitt or Fitz.
Who is a great player.
He had a good game.
Yeah, well, kind of.
As much as anybody has a good game in a 51-50 contest. But.
Ford had a good game. I mean,
Ford had a pretty good weekend, right? I mean, he hit two game winners.
Yeah, he's a good player, and you can't – somebody else has to beat you. I'm a big believer in that. Right, if they've got one of those kind of guys, if they're Gonzaga, like right now, I would just let the play out against Gonzaga because, quite frankly, they probably have three of those guys, right? But on St. Mary's, Ford cannot hit the shot. You must make him give up the ball, either deny it on the inbounds or make him give it up. I feel bad for Barcelo because I think he played a heck of a game defensively against him. He just got beat on that play by Ford. And Celius made the wrong decision by not popping off Fitz towards Ford. And if Fitz hits the corner three to win it, so be it. But you can't let Ford hit a 15-foot jumper to beat you, I don't think. But again, I still feel great about this season. The negativity on Twitter after the game, I get it. It's like 1 a.m, we're all ticked off, should have won the game, all that stuff. But the negativity on Twitter was kind of like, I almost felt like I was waiting for, I never saw it, thank goodness, the Fire Pope tweets, right? Never mind.
Jeez.
Bloom's come off this rose.
Oh, dude, man.
We're 6 months away from that. You know that, right? Like, if next year with a depleted roster, we end up, losing a couple games to like Pacific, you know that's coming, right? That's just where we are in modern sports fandom. This is just what happens. You'll turn on people fast, right? It'll go from, we won't be able to afford to keep him to, well, I mean, we're not going to have to worry about keeping him. We should fire him. But anyway, I thought Pope did a good job after the game taking all the blame. You know, I got out coached. These guys played hard, all that stuff. I thought that was a good job by him.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
All right, so this is the coronavirus portion of the podcast, which will be, everybody's been waiting for because none of us talk about coronavirus. Do you talk about it at all at work or anything?
Do we talk about anything else?
Yeah, I know. So breaking news on the podcast won't be breaking news by the time you listen probably, but the NBA has suspended their season and all that stuff. So Nick Gazzero, that's at @New England_AU, which, by the way, he went to high school at one of the Nors. Not Norton, because I thought it was Norton, and it wasn't Norton. I'm going to figure this out in a second. Anyway, he's from He's from Southeast Mass.
Where I need to know where. Okay, if he went to Norton, that's a big deal.
He didn't go to Norton. He's not the Lancers. He went to.
This isn't immaterial information, Adam.
He went to Norwood.
Oh, Norwood. Okay. All right.
He went to Norwood. He's from Norwood. Anyway, he says, are we going to have March Madness tournament this year, or is the coronavirus going to end up canceling it? I have no idea, but I'm going to say right now it gets canceled. Matt, what do you think?
You know, if you would have asked me, the crazy thing about this is if you would have asked me this question 12 hours ago, I would have said, no, they're just going to play in empty gyms.
Three hours ago,
I might have said that. But now I think they might not play it.
I mean, if the NBA is going to suspend, and we don't know, this just broke right before we were, and it delayed us starting the podcast because you and I were like, what the, you know, but that being, you know, so I don't know. I think they're going to cancel it. I think at this point, after Trump's announcements tonight, the president's announcements, I assume they're going to have to. Mike Young on Facebook said, with the recent news of no fans during March Madness, how do you see this affecting teams, BYU specifically? Should there be an asterisk on the tourney due to the influence of the crowd or lack thereof? So for a moment, let's pretend that it doesn't get canceled because we don't know. And they do go through their plans to play it in empty gyms. And by the way, it's easier for the NBA to do this because they're in the middle of their season and they could do something like cancel a month and then just say we just missed those games and restart the season, right?
Right.
NCAA, this is their Super Bowl, their NBA Finals. Like, I'm not saying they're not going to cancel it, but it's just a way tougher call, right?
Well, they can't. It's not like you can push it off 6 weeks.
No, I mean, you can't. These aren't professionals, right? If they push it off 6 weeks, I think the charade of them being amateurs, charade, Adam. I don't live wherever they say charade. The charade of them being amateurs would be over, wouldn't it? You can't say 6 weeks later, classes are done at most of these colleges. Hey guys, come back and play the tournament, right?
But you know, it's crazy. At a lot of these colleges, they're extending spring breaks. They're making all the classes virtual. They're kicking people out of on-campus housing.
The Ivy League. So with all of that going on, all of their spring sports.
So with all that going on, you're going to play the tournament?
Yeah, I imagine they're not. But say they did play it in front of empty gyms, which was the plan as of earlier today. I don't think it affects any team more than others. I've seen people like, oh, it's going to affect the higher seeds. It's going to be better for them because they won't have the underdog chance going on in the stadiums. And my thought is everybody's working under the same conditions. It might, on the margins, affect different people different, but I think mostly it would just be really weird if you're just hearing squeaks of sneakers like it's a high school scrimmage.
Can you imagine watching these games on TV?
Well, I remember Baltimore did this, right? During the riots a few years ago. They played a game with no fans. And
Division III college basketball did this last week.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They did this last week.
And so the teams are on the benches trying to like simulate some crowd noise and like get some cheers going. Do you know how weird that would be? And think about the arenas that some of these games are supposed to be played in. I mean, they were giant.
I read today they were going to move them to smaller venues, but in the same city. They were going to move them because you can't play it in a 35,000 seat gym, right?
Imagine them. They're playing a basketball game in NRG. Well, a football stadium. Well, that's totally empty.
Well, they were talking about earlier today moving the Final Four out of New Orleans to a smaller venue in Atlanta.
Hmm.
But again, to your point that you just articulated here a few minutes ago, I can't imagine they hold it at this point. I think it's going to be very hard for them to justify it. And I'm not putting any qualitative stuff on this. I'm not an expert in any of this, and I just think at some point, even if you think the hysteria is over the top, it doesn't actually matter, right?
Yeah, I think that the tough part is going to be the consistency in the messaging for universities.
Yeah, you're canceling classes. You're doing all this other stuff. But yeah, we'll send our student athletes to all over the country. Yeah.
And bet. I think what happened with the NBA today also changes the way people have been thinking about it. You know, with this report that you've got a player with coronavirus and this concern that the players would then be transmitting it to one another, which if it is confirmed that a player does have it, then, you know, it has spread all over the NBA with the way the teams travel and play each other. So you get one player with it in, in the tournament. And you think about what that means in terms of exposure. I just think it becomes difficult to handle that in the current environment.
Well, they share gyms, they share seats where they sit down on the benches. You don't even have to play
against one another.
Well, but you don't even have to have that, right? Yes, certainly that, right? But you don't even have to have that because you've got how many teams sharing the same gym that weekend?
Yeah, I just think it becomes. I think it's becoming a tougher and tougher sell.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm like you, man. I'm not an expert in any of this. I'm just trying to line up the way that different groups are reacting to it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just glad I didn't take my planned vacation to Europe this week, which is not true, actually. I wasn't planning on taking a vacation to Europe this week. But, you know, if you're in Europe this week, this would be you can't even come home, right? Like, so I think President Trump's announcements this evening and the NBA, I think the NCAA, you've got to imagine they're all on a conference call as we speak, right?
Yeah, what do we do?
What do we do now, right? They made a decision earlier today that seemed reasonable when they made it earlier today and may not seem reasonable now.
But 24 hours ago, the Houston Rodeo, right? So South by Southwest in Austin got canceled, and people started asking the Houston Rodeo, why aren't you canceling? And they said, well, if you look at the numbers, the attendance at South by Southwest are, largely from outside of Texas and even international. It's like 70% international or something.
Yeah.
And the rodeo is like 94% Houston, Texas people at the rodeo. And so like that, the risk just isn't the same. But then today at noon, they're like 24 hours later. Rodeo, 24 to 48 hours later, rodeo's canceled.
Well, we've had that at work. We've had changing policies at my job that have changed within 24 hours on this, or less, because it's evolving that fast. And the NCAA, heck, by the time most of you listen to this, we may know what the NCAA has decided.
But if they go ahead and play it, I don't think that you put an asterisk on the tournament. I mean, because it affects everybody. It will affect everybody the same way, whatever the resolution is.
But if they don't play, I think Kansas is just named the champ.
Is that what they – how do you do that? Is that
what
you do?
Because they're number one. And it stinks, right? I feel – I know some people are going to be like, it doesn't matter. There's bigger things here. That's fine. That's probably true. I do feel bad for all of the players, including the seniors on this BYU team, who won't get a chance to play in the tournament if they cancel it. I feel terrible. I get it. There are bigger things going on in the world, all that stuff, right? But
that doesn't make the fact that these guys have worked so hard for this thing, it doesn't make it any less disappointing.
No, it doesn't. And, there were, especially if you're a senior on one of these teams like Gonzaga or Kansas, do they even have any seniors on Kansas? Or are they all like one and done? I think they actually have some seniors on Kansas. One of those players who this was your chance to like win a national championship, and make this deep tournament run, and you're just never going to get to do it. And that's sad to me. And obviously the economic impact of not playing these games, not upon the big institutions, but on the people that work at the stadiums, the Uber drivers that were already planning on, I'm going to make a ton of money that weekend. I mean, this stinks for everybody, right? This is just a no-win situation for any group involved. And that makes that's sad because, I mean, I love March Madness too. And I will, if they don't play it, it'll be sad for all of us, right? All of us that are big college basketball fans. It'll stink.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so let's pretend they do play it, Matt. Seed prediction for BYU, I think it's a 6.
Yeah, I'm at six as well. I think with the win against St. Mary's, you're a five. I think you end up as a six right now.
Yeah, that's a question from Gary Payne at FastBreakGP, hashtag tweetback, hashtag Payneback. And by the way, Mike Young also did hashtag go Cougs, hashtag no rock in his. Tricky T, that's at Plumber underscore Tanner, says, everyone says that BYU fans have high expectations, but what exactly are they expecting? I feel like this is a question that's not talked about enough. I feel like we've talked about this once or twice on the podcast about the high expectations of BYU fans. So I'll phrase it this way, and we can answer Tricky T's question here. Do you think BYU's fan expectations are different than other similar fan bases?
No, I think they're very similar.
Okay, so do you think they're unrealistic?
Yes.
I would agree with both of your takes. I think they're not that different, and they're unrealistic.
So, but there's two layers to this question, in my opinion. There's one layer that is your expectations, the fans' expectations around one of the teams right now, right? So, say, take this basketball team, for example. There is this belief or expectation that, is this an Elite Eight team? I heard a guy on First Take this morning pick BYU to go Elite Eight to perhaps Final Four. Everybody, they were all freaking out on the show. An expectation for this team to go to the Elite Eight, like if that is what you see is kind of, this is what you expect from this team, that's a high expectation for these guys. This is a very good team, and they very well may have that in them to make that deep of a run. But I think a more realistic expectation would be one or two wins. You know, one, a win. Maybe get into two games. That's a realistic expectation.
And it's funny how...
Especially at a six seed, because a six seed is an awkward spot.
Yeah.
But if you're talking, if you go macro on this and you think, I expect BYU basketball to be a Sweet 16 team every year, that's, you know, that type of expectation is also high. And I think that there are people that expect BYU to be a game or two deep in the tournament every year. And not only do I think it's high, I just don't see it supported by history or anything else, right? So, but there's two levels of those expectations, I feel like. And you could do the same thing in football. You could do the same thing in men's volleyball. You could do the same thing in a lot of sports.
Right. Right. Well, except in men's volleyball right now, they're living up to those expectations.
Yeah, they sure are.
Well, that's going to be sad. Gosh, I hadn't even thought about that. What if they cancel the rest of the men's volleyball season?
You got a men's volleyball team that is a legit national championship contender.
Oh, heck yeah. The favorite at this point.
Yep.
Ooh. Man, I'm with you. I think the expectations, I think as fans, and you can fan however you want to fan, right? I'm not telling people how to fan.
I just like the fact that you're using fan as a verb.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I'm just saying, I think it affects how you, your ability sometimes to enjoy good things, and you don't end up enjoying them. Like if anybody, say BYU were to get bounced in the first round as a sixth seed, right? That's a disappointing result on a micro level because they're the higher seed, right? And you could just kind of say, oh, this season stinks. They raised my hopes and then they punch me in the gut, right?
They did it again. They always do this,
you know. And the problem I have with that is I think, again, fan how you want, but I just think sometimes we got to step back and be like, if we want to enjoy this, then I think you have to kind of get grounded on what your expectations were at the beginning of the year, especially with this season, which was what? We were saying we hope they make the NIT. And if they make the NIT this year, it's progress, right? We were saying like outside shot that they could make a run in the turn and the WCC tourney, and by winning that, sneak their way into the tournament, right? That's what we said at the beginning of the year on our preview show. And I think that's where most fans were at 4 months ago. And I just think you step back and kind of go, hey, no matter what happens, and yes, this disappointing loss to St. Mary's was not fun to watch. And I stayed up all that time to watch it. But it's still been a really fun season to watch them. And if this is the end of it, it's not going to be my favorite BYU basketball season of all time, but of the teams I've watched, it's top 10 for me. Heck, it might be top 5.
This team has been a ton of fun. This has been a great season.
Yeah, and Childs has had, like we talked about last week, has had a season for all time. Unfortunately, yeah. He doesn't qualify for anything because
the NCAA is stupid.
But, yeah.
Okay, whatever.
And he missed a couple games because of injury. He'd be the highest PER player. He'd be up for the National Player of the Year if he'd played all these games.
Yep.
He has had the best season any BYU player has had since Jimmer, and perhaps on a great basis, not a absolute basis, the best one we've had since Kosich. Right? Think about
it. Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal what he's doing.
And TJ Haas had this run over the last month that is, I think, one of the greatest months a BYU basketball player has ever had. Right? On top of another BYU basketball player having one of the greatest months a BYU basketball player's ever had. Oh, and by the way, Toulson was all right, too. Right? And Celius has become like a national celebrity with his mustache and crazy hair. It's a fun team. Well,
And one of the things that I totally lost my train of thought. The train just left the station, and I wasn't on it.
Yeah, you should hop on, buddy. Hop on.
I don't even know what I was about to say. You're not going to edit this out either, are you? It's great.
Absolutely not. We started way too late. I have no time to edit.
I have no idea what I started to say just now. Let's just keep rolling.
The
let's
only time rolling. I'm editing at this point is if you drop an F.
Oh, I got it. I got it.
Pull it back.
The cool thing about this is that, and as unfortunate as the way that played out for him with the paperwork issue in the NCAA.
That's your, rusty.
I'm going to lose it again. I'm barely holding on. Is the case that this makes to stay.
Oh, right? Yes, great
Yoli
point.
Childs, if you look at Yoli Childs' prospects in the NBA a year ago, versus what he has done with the time that he did get this year and what that means for his chances at the next level. I mean, it is the trajectory is materially different. So it's a great case study for other players to think about when they're trying to make that decision. There's the whole thing of if I test the waters, I better make sure that I don't get screwed on some stupid paperwork issue, A. But B, like, maybe if I play basketball at this level for another year, I can get better, develop, and put something together here that's going to change my stock.
Right. Yeah. 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 I mean, you and I said this when Mika went pro. It's all his decision, and we respect anybody making their own decision. And good for him, and I hope he feels like it has worked out. I believe he had a season like this in him at BYU and would have changed his potential future in the NBA. I don't know that that's true because you can never know going back, but I think at the time I said this, I think you agreed with me, and I certainly in retrospect, Childs makes a good case for it. If you're not a first-round draft choice in the NBA, you should stay. Don't chase the Europe money. Because you're putting at risk bigger opportunities professionally.
If you really think you'd have a legit shot at the first round in the NBA,
which
yeah,
I think absolutely. I think Mika did. If he put together another season or two and had expanded his range so he could hit three pointers like Childs has done. Right now, Childs is he's never going to be the guy that leads the team in 3-point attempts, but he can now step back and hit these shots. Which is in the NBA, unless you're really a elite post player, you've got to have some range in today's NBA. So, anyway,
and I think in almost all cases, right? You never do know, right? Like what could have been or what would have happened, except for maybe one. There's one instance where I think that person knows for sure, at least when they talk about it. Right. And that's Uncle Rico.
Oh yeah.
I mean, had he been put in, they would have won state.
He would have thrown that football over the mountain.
And he'd be soaking it up in a hot tub with his soulmate.
That's right, he would. Or is Uncle Rico really that guy from Real Genius that was living in the closet?
It's clearly the same actor.
But maybe it's the same character.
The same character?
Did you think about that? Maybe they're in the same universe.
You think Napoleon Dynamite and Real Genius are in the same universe? Interesting.
As Socrates once said, I drank what? All right. So we're going to finish up today by playing a game called the stock market. Oh, before we get to the stock market, big news out of football camp isn't really out of football camp. It's that Chaz Ayu is not being charged with all the things he was being charged with from the traffic incident a week or two ago. And not only that, the Utah County attorney held a press conference and sat there and basically told them, and I'm paraphrasing this, that the cops screwed this up, and so they're not going to press charges.
Right. There's some evidentiary issues, and there's nothing to see here. We have no charges for this.
And IU has since had a bunch of tweets that interpret them as you will, but basically his tweets are, yeah, I told you so. There's nothing to see here. Right, they even said there was no evidence that he was going 75 into 35, which was the original reason he got pulled over. So I don't know how this is going to end. All I can say is it's a bizarre one, and I think it always, as always, tells us beware believing the first reports because you just don't know, right?
Yeah, you have no idea.
And I still have no idea.
Different places all over the country or the county or the state or wherever you are. You're not in the kid's car when this thing goes down.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way of knowing what actually has happened here.
Yeah, and like you and I have talked about before, we're much more in the camp of let's help this kid if there was a problem, then let's throw him out of school, right?
Oh, 100%.
You know, and it sounds like there may not have even been a problem.
Yeah, who knows?
We don't know. But if that's the case, then even more so, right? I mean, because I had seen people like, you know, some BYU Twitter idiots saying, you know, we got to kick this guy to the curb. The other news, and I didn't list it here on the deal, was Devin Calfusi entered the transfer portal, and it looks like he's going to Utah. And BYU Twitter lost their collective minds after that happened. Matt, what's your take on Devin Calfusi's transfer?
So, you know, we've talked about this before, so I'll give my kind of pat answer to these All types right. of things and I then maybe make answer. A specific comment. But the pat answer is he should be able to go wherever he wants to play and he should be allowed to play immediately. There's no restrictions on this. If these are college students and they're not professionals, then he should just be allowed to transfer. And if he feels like it's a better opportunity for him to go up to Salt Lake for whatever reason. If it's a coach issue, if it's another player issue, if it's a exposure for the next level issue, whatever he feels like creates the best opportunity for him.
His girlfriend or wife or friends live in Salt Lake. I don't care. Right.
Whatever it doesn't matter what the reason. Decides or he wants to study something different or yeah. I don't even care what it is.
Yeah. Football reason, non-football reason. He likes the color red better.
He should be allowed to move just like I would have been if I decided to transfer to another school. Right. Now on the flip side of this, it is disappointing, right? And I think the part of the reason that fans struggle with this one is because he's a Calfusi. But when you look at what the defense is doing and all this, like, can we live without Calfusi? Can we live without him? Are we going to be okay? Is this a devastating blow to the defense? Besides from a morale standpoint, I don't know that it is. I'm not saying he's not great. I'm not saying he absolutely won't be missed. But I think we're blowing this. I think this gets a little bit blown out of proportion because he's a Calfusi.
Well, I think it also gets blown out of proportion because there's a segment of BYU football fans, and you're a foot and a half into this segment, not of the crazy part. Well, maybe you're a little crazy, but who hate Tuiaki, and this is evidence to them that Tuiaki is terrible, right? And I don't know, since we don't know what the reason is that Calfusi is leaving, that we can say that it's an evidence of anything regarding Tuiaki. Right? I have no idea. I can tell you that Calfusi last year had 10 tackles, none for loss, and no sacks as a sophomore. Okay? Does that mean he wouldn't have become good? I have no idea.
But was he even going to play?
I don't know. But then, you know, then the haters are like, well, if he's going to transfer to Utah and he wasn't going to play at us, what are we missing? Good. Right? And I get that. And that may be true. The coaches may have missed on this one. We don't know, right? Because like I said, it's like we don't know the reason. But the flip side of this is I don't think he was the key to next year on the defensive side of the football, right? I don't think if you and I, before this news, we wouldn't even be talking about him today. Right?
Yeah, we would not even be talking about him today.
I mean, you know,
maybe maybe on a position by position level, maybe when we came across there, he would have come up, right?
Yeah, sure. But, if we were having a whole segment on the D line, he might have come up. He might have come up.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's play our game. Our game is called Stock Market, which is probably a bad choice this week. Don't look at your 401k, oh, man, folks.
It's been painful. Now I don't want to think about it.
So anyway, here's the deal. We're going to say since the end of the season, are you feeling better, worse, or the same about the position groups? And we're going to go one by one.
So this is I'm comparing today to the end of the season.
Correct. As we are in the midst of spring football, comparing to the end of the season. Okay?
All right. All right, what you got?
QBs. Up, down, or the same?
The same.
I am also feeling the same. We talked a lot about the QBs last week, so we won't belabor that one. Running backs, up, down, or the same?
I am up.
You were up, and that because of a certain transfer from the University of Utah?
I feel good about a transfer from the University of Utah. I feel good about Harvey Unger's chances to become the running back coach. I'm not saying I prefer him to Stewart. But I do, like me some Harvey Unger. I think he's a good coach.
Yeah, I am also up for those exact same reasons. I also was maybe not as down on the group before the transfer as some of the others, some other folks were. But I would have felt worse just because we lost some good players last year, right? Wide receivers and tight ends, I put them into one group.
I'm gonna say the same.
I'm gonna say worse. Just because we lost a bunch of players, right? Some playmakers. So I'm going to say worse. Every year I feel like they're talking about somebody at the wide receiver position is going to be a breakout guy. And I really hope it's Romney, by the way. And every year we don't really have that breakout guy.
I don't care who it is. I just want it to actually happen.
Yeah, I don't care who it is either. Offensive line.
Better.
I feel better. Like, all the advanced statistics, and I know you said this will be on my tombstone, but if you look at the advanced statistics, everybody loves our offensive line.
People love our offensive line even more than you love advanced statistics.
I don't know if that's true.
That's actually not true. Yeah, nobody loves anything more than you love advanced statistics.
You know, you're the single people listening to this podcast are just hoping they find someone who loves them half as much as I love advanced
stats. You need to find somebody who looks at you the way Adam looks at advanced stats.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. Here's a quick advanced stats story. So I got laid off.
Play like some love music? This is like talking about The Notebook.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's totally. It is.
It's you and advanced statistics standing out in the rain yelling at each other and then kissing.
Yes. So I got laid off in 2002. That's right. And this was like when Moneyball was going on, right? And all that stuff was happening in baseball. And I'm a huge baseball fan, as some of you may have heard.
Huge.
And so I decided I was going to invent my own defensive metrics. And I spent 3 weeks after I got laid off, because I needed something to do, coming up with my own system for defensive metrics in baseball. And what I came to the conclusion was there we didn't track the right things to actually come up with a good defensive metric, which I was very disappointed because I had spent 3 weeks trying to come up with this. And
But it's probably more therapeutic than just spending those 3 weeks on your resume or something, right? So,
Heck yeah. By the way, I also watched an unhealthy amount of movies. And Andre right now is saying there is no such thing as an unhealthy amount of movies, Adam.
It's only unhealthy if you didn't see them all.
That's correct. That's right.
That's okay. Andre's response.
That's right. Defensive line, up, down, or the same?
Neutral to maybe a little bit down.
Neutral for me. Same.
I feel the same. And I'm going to go ahead and tag that with the Kafusi news.
Yeah, Kafusi news doesn't affect me very much in my feelings towards the defensive line. Linebackers.
I'm going to say neutral, but I would like to note that my feelings are positive.
Yeah, same here. I'd be the same. Mine would be maybe slightly up, kind of like your defensive line was slightly down. Mine would be maybe pointed a little up. Defensive backs.
I'm going to say negative.
I just, when you lose Gunwalaku and as good as he was, I just think coming into camp, spring camp, I just don't know how you can feel as good. I love hearing that Troy Warner is healthy and looking really good in camp. That makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside because I think if he's healthy, he's a big difference maker. And obviously he struggled with staying on the field. But I just don't know how you can feel better about this group with your best. Quite frankly, maybe he was your best defensive player last year. Right.
And I'll tell you, the thing that's got me is you get things out of practice. Like they've got Zane Anderson playing some defensive back, right? And yeah, I know, yeah. I do understand that the MO the last few years has been they've gone and found large prep safeties and bulked them up a little bit and moved them down to linebacker. And it has paid some dividends in terms of defensive reads, interceptions, and some other things. But to then take one of those guys and move him back towards the defensive backfield, and I know that he has said things and they're saying things like, we just want to get him some reps back there for contingency purposes, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that you're taking one of those guys and putting him back there signals to me that there might be a little bit less confidence in that unit than you would like to admit. And that makes me nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying there for certain. Special teams, I feel the same.
I'm down. I think we lost a good kicker. And I think that the kicking game was a little bit of an adventure. Has been a little bit on and off. And I'm not sure between the two that the one that stayed is the one that we wanted.
I'm neutral, but I'm not positive. How about that? It's like you and the, which one was it?
Defensive line.
Yeah,
I was linebackers. I was neutral, but was positive.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I'm not saying that we definitely didn't get the better one out of the two. I'm just saying I don't know.
Yeah.
I sure felt a lot better about it when we had two guys that when one wasn't hot, we could go to the other. And you felt like at least one out of the two was going to deliver.
I just thought there's going to be the best kicker in BYU history or one of the best, and he doesn't even play for us anymore. You know.
I'll tell you what's interesting about Southam is my son went to BYU football camp last year and kicked a couple of spent a little bit of time kicking with Southam. And when Southam entered the transfer portal, my son messaged him on Instagram. And Southam messaged him back.
No joke. Huh. Yeah, I
mean, my son said something like, "I don't know if you remember me." I mean, I can pull up and read it to you, but it was something like, "Hey, I don't know if you remember me, but spent some time with you at the football camp last year. You kind of have been keeping an eye on you. It was pretty cool to see somebody competing at a high level that I felt like I kind of knew. Saw that you entered the transfer portal. Best of luck to you, wherever you end up." And he wrote back something like, "Hey, really appreciate it. Remember working with you. Good luck along the way." Like, it was super, super cool.
I think at least
he seems like a good guy. So best of luck to him.
Yeah. And the last one in our game I didn't have on the agenda, but coaches. Do you feel better, worse, or the same about the coaching staff?
I feel the same.
I feel the same. And it's not, I think for both of us, that's not an endorsement. Right?
No, but if I were to say I feel the same, but it's positive, or I feel the same that it's negative, I would say I feel the same, but I'm willing to say the jury's still out. Like we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I don't know that we can jump to a conclusion that we know what we're going to get with this staff this fall. I think somebody had thrown that question out at us a couple of weeks ago. I don't know that I feel that way. But I think this year is a big year for this coaching staff.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's also a gauntlet of a schedule.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I totally agree. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. If I didn't say it before, you can join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/writersshout, on Twitter at BYU_writersshout. And of course, you can become a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/risingshout. Thanks for downloading and listening. Hopefully next week we're back talking about something, but if there's no NCAA tournament, if they cancel that, man, I'm thinking we don't have a podcast next week.
I mean, if they do that, then I imagine they won't be playing volleyball either. I just don't know what we'll talk about.
Yeah, what
at
are we
going to
talk about? You know, you and I are going to crack jokes the whole time? Am I going to just do Boston Batman?
That actually could be funny.
That could be funny. All right. Well, thanks for everybody for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!